The process of identification from a yogic point of view. This mantra of the light is an ancient spiritual practice aimed at self-realization. Let us consider for a moment what it means. I am created by divine light is a verbal statement. When we make a statement, we have to clarify to ourselves what such a statement means. Otherwise, it is utter nonsense to say something that has no meaning. We do not want to become parrots or just repeat something useless. What we want is to become liberated from the mechanicalness of our existence. Unless we make efforts to the contrary, we are normally sleepwalkers. We are not even aware that we are not awake. The path of yoga, whatever else is claimed for it, is a path of liberation. This has to be remembered over and over again, so that we are not just intellectualizing about it, but really know deep within that liberation is what we wish for ourselves in this life. Each life has a purpose. We may not accomplish the highest degree of liberation in one lifetime, but we can aim at a high goal in the hope that at least part of it will be achieved. In doing this, we will have accomplished part of life's lesson to be learned in our individual path of evolution. Hence, we must not say, I am created by divine light, unless we think about it and understand it on a level which goes beyond the words. That is, the understanding should be on more than an intellectual level. Feelings and emotions must also be involved. It must not be an empty repetition. Even so, in the course of many years, this also would bear fruit. It's like a tree that we do not water. The fruit may be small, undeveloped, and dry. When we take care of a tree and give it water, the fruit will come out in its season, ripe and juicy. Whatever we put into an endeavor, that is also what we can get out of it. Ideally, we should review how our thinking and whole existence have been the foundation of each statement we make, to see if we have really accepted the idea expressed in its full meaning. When I say I am created by divine light, I must know that at this moment I am not identifying myself with my physical body. I am identifying with the source of my being, with that creative energy to which some of us give the name God. We do not need to throw out our own heritage or the beliefs we have inherited from previous generations in the Western world. However, we can make a little effort to see that each culture, whether that of the West, the Middle East, or the Far East, only chooses to express the same ideas in different types of symbology. Each culture uses symbols arising out of this particular time when these ideas appeared. The big problem of many people is feeling lost, not having a meaningful identification, and not knowing how to identify. With what do you want to identify? Is it your body? Then you are only a body, if you identify with the body. If you are not the body, are you the mind? The mind has myriad countless personality aspects. If you identify with the mind, you must know that you risk identifying with one of those many personality aspects which is in the foreground at the time. At any given moment, this can shift to a different personality aspect, and with time there is a process of selecting one after another of the many personalities you have. Ask yourself which is the real you. If you accept the concept of a higher self, of the superconscious, of a soul, or eternal light, there is really nothing else with which you can identify. When we ask for truth, that also will be given to us. Of course, we must understand that our approach to that truth is only gradual because we identify, unfortunately, with too many personality aspects. Each personality tries to fight back and assert its presence. That is the whole riddle of the Bhagavad Gita. That is the battle of the Gita. Wherever you find yourself, you are in a battlefield, exactly as described in the Gita. And who are your relatives? They are your different personalities. There is a definite limit to the trust that you can give them, since they are markedly influenced by sense impressions and by emotions. The Gita promises that your good karma collected over many lifetimes will eventually become active. This is similar to the accumulation of spiritual capital, which is then available for further development towards the spiritual goal of self-realization. The Gita says also that in many lifetimes of pursuit, we are like children playing with our toys. Our pursuits for career, success in domestic and professional life are likened to these toys, which we will not give up until we have grown tired of playing like children. Therefore, the path of renunciation is suggested as a way to become free of the compelling attractions to which our senses are exposed. Such renunciation does not mean giving up joy and happiness, but we have to examine the difference between joy and fun. Joy and happiness are like an inner fountain giving us strength, letting us see the beauty which life has to offer. Fun, on the contrary, could be described as gratification of greedy emotions which never are long satisfied. Each individual has to make the interpretation for himself. We do not have to deprive ourselves of the happiness and the joy life has to offer. But if we crave fun, excitement, and change, we are not yet ready to seek the higher values in life. It is similar to when we only enjoy gossip magazines. We are not yet ready to read Shakespeare or other beautiful poetry. We are not ready for good music that will elevate us beyond ordinary existence. We are not ready for the greater light, the deeper light of understanding. But then each person must decide this for himself, because no one can live this life for him. The symbol of the light is of a subtle shape and form, making it a suitable image for the mind to use in expressing symbolically the most beautiful, the most perfect, the most high. We can all meet in one identification, which will bring us together and hold us together. This is the divine light in each of us, which brings the greatest rewards.